beautiful people. And welcome to it, a Friday edition of the program. You did it. You made it through the work week. The weekend is here. Matt Smith sitting in for Stoke as we wrap up the week with all things, of course, NCAA, Rams, Buffs, Nuggets, Avs. Matt Smith, how you doing today, Broseph?
Broheem, I'm doing well, Josh. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm fired up for a Friday. I'm ready for a weekend, just sitting around watching a whole lot of basketball, which is what we did yesterday. And that's where we'll start. We'll start with CSU not being able to get it done. Their season has officially come to an end, 56-44. Matt, it felt great. 8-0 run, 8-2, timeout on the other side, and you think, man, this could go very, very well for Isaiah Stevens and company. But after that timeout, man, the Rams crumbled at that point. So they had 8 points, and then the Longhorns call a timeout, gather themselves, get some things going. CSU scored 3 more points the rest of the second half. So I guess we got to eat our heart out for the 14 the Virginia had for the first half, because the Rams were just short of that, man. There was a lid on the basket. We're just kind of talking to Mike Evans. You could see, like, the pucker-up factor in real time with the Rams players on the floor.
Yeah, they just didn't come to play offensively after that first media timeout yesterday. They came out with as the team with more energy defensively and offensively. They were aggressive. They were getting downhill. And then there was just a lid on the basket from that point on. For the most part, they couldn't make a shot. Isaiah Stevens was, I mean, cold as ice, you know, not in a good way. And Neat Clifford was all right. Defensively, he played well. But that's a Big 12 athletic, physical Texas team. And talking to people who were there yesterday, you could just see the clear size difference between these two teams when you're there in person, as you probably should, because it's a Big 12 team. Right. And this is why, you know, and I'm sorry to say this, Rams fan, but this is why I picked against CSU yesterday. I was rooting for him down the stretch.
I'm not sure you're so sorry.
No, I am. Because it sucks to lose in the tournament that way.
Okay.
It always sucks to lose in the tournament, but it really sucks to lose when you get your tails whooped. Mm-hmm. That sucks. Like, I remember being down in Orlando when CU played Pitt in Orlando and got mopped up and down the floor, and that is no fun. Yeah. So I do feel bad for Rams fans, but a good year nonetheless, and they got one, which was the most important, I think, at least to advance to the round of 64. And now we got to have the Buffs come through tonight for State of Colorado.
Yeah, that's right, the Buffs now. It's down to you, the men's side, the women's side, both in action tonight. What is it, 2:30, 5 o'clock?
It is 2:35, yeah.
2:30 and 5 o'clock. The fellas will do it at 2:30. The ladies will do it at 5. And, yeah, it's time to shift all of our attention to the Buffaloes to represent the great state of Colorado. Do you think Rams, what are they, Rams Nation, the Ramley, do they shift their attention to the Buffaloes? Like,
no.
You were showing some great support for the Rams yesterday.
Yeah, it's not reciprocated.
Oh,
but it's
not.
Okay. Yeah, but little brother can never really root for big brother, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of those situations. They're always going to be jealous. It's just kind of one of those things. Now, I tease, obviously. This is going to be an interesting matchup with Florida today. I was doing some digging into this one. The total for this one's near 160 points, which, look, I mean, that was the same thing for Kansas last night in Samford, and that game nearly had 200 combined points. So Vegas thinks this is going to be a high-scoring affair, which would be interesting because Colorado has not played well necessarily offensively for the last 3 straight games.
Mm-hmm.
Washington State only scored 58. Oregon scored 69, I want to say. Nice. And
yeah,
then what did they put up in the opening round? I can't even remember. 63.
Remember.
They scored 63. So, yeah, they just really haven't been able to crack that 70 marker. So if it's going to be a total of 160, you figure a high-scoring affair. We'll see. Florida without their best player today.
Mm-hmm. But the two guards, I started to look at some of those guards
they
you
can
were
ball.
Talking about yesterday. They can both get it and are both pretty solid on the defensive end.
All right.
Or they can both get buckets.
Yeah.
Damn it.
You gotta send that to your buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I said it right away, and I was like, wait a minute, I'm uncomfortable now.
Yeah, there you go.
But they're both also solid on the defensive end, which is obviously going to make for an interesting matchup with KJ Simpson tonight. So it should be fun. Buffs, Florida on a Friday afternoon. Let's go. Let's get it done today. All right, outside of CSU, how's the bracket overall? How you feeling? Because we got a little action, you and I, of how it went in day one.
Rough day one. Rough day one. And the exclamation point on it was Oakland and Kentucky last night. The best game of the tournament. I told you yesterday that I had filled out, you know, only one. Cough, cough, wink, wink.
That's what everyone
one
does.
Bracket. Well, in the one that I submitted for work, I had Kentucky into the Final Four because I'm like, yeah, they can get hot. They can go on a run. Look at what they did offensively last night.
Yeah.
They can score a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Well, Oakland had something for them. That and much more. What an absolute classic of an NCAA tournament game that was. Oakland knocks off John Calipari. And I don't know if you've been following this at all, and I'm sure this is to Kevin Kisner, the producer's chagrin here, but the Kentucky fan base is coming for John Calipari with the tiki torches and the pitchforks
today. Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Which I never thought we'd see the day. But I was listening to some interesting commentary from a Kentucky supporter and, you know, somebody who covers the team last night. And they were saying, look,
over under 6.5 teeth in their head.
No, he had all of his teeth. Okay. He had all of his teeth for sure. Maybe some veneers even. Yeah, One of those down south boys, you know?
Yeah.
He was saying that fans are sick of all of the, you know, first round draft picks, but never making a Final Four. And he listed all these incredible players, including Jamal Murray and Bam Adebayo, and, you know, keep going. When was the last time Kentucky was in a Final Four? He makes a good point.
Yeah, he does.
It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he was essentially saying that the fan base thinks that Calipari's edge, okay, in recruiting is basically been nullified by NIL and by being able to pay players.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it come down to? In-game coaching? Well, they're not convinced that that's the case for him, so they think he could actually be on his way out there in Kentucky.
Okay. Look, as a kid that was born in Indiana, I love to see it.
Right?
Love to see it. I was at the Nuggets game last night with my cousin and the little dudes, and it was awesome. We're going to talk about it, how much fun the little guys had, but we're watching the game on our phone because we also share the mutual hate of Kentucky, and we both said the same thing. I'm like, dude, I have the Wildcats in the Elite Eight. He's like, yeah, I got them going pretty deep in my work pool as well, and I said, you know what's worth it, though? Watching Kentucky fans cry on national television. I'll rip my bracket up every time if the team I don't like the most gets upset in round one. You know what I mean? Like, it's worth it at that point. And that's how I feel about Kentucky. So a big hat tip, smack on the rear end, if you will, to Jack Golkey, the dude that hit 10 threes. Coming off the bench, 10 of 20 from the three-point range. I heard him and his coach on with Scott Van Pelt afterwards.
That was fantastic.
And you hear Scott go, hey, when's the last time you made a two-pointer? Jack Golkey made 4 2-point shots this entire year. Everything else was a three-pointer from that young dude.
The kid was 10 of 20 from the three-point line. He played 5 years of Division III basketball.
He was driving Uber. I heard Mike say it. Driving Uber and Lyft to make money on the side while he was playing basketball at the Division III level.
But this is why we love the NCAA tournament. Right here. You don't get this in college football.
No.
Okay? You get this in college basketball. It's just, if you know, for everybody who clamors out there that that collegiate sports isn't pure anymore, look, maybe it's not, you know, what it used to be, but I got news for you. It was money back then, too. You just didn't know about it. But you still have a shred of it left here. You don't really in college football anymore.
Yeah.
But here you do.
Yep.
So, again, I've been really, really pleased with the first day overall of the tournament. Dayton walking down Nevada, coming down 17 points yesterday.
Nevada, we both like Nevada, too.
Nevada absolutely let the rope slip yesterday. And then, of course, Richie Spartans looked fantastic. Mm-hmm. First out of the gate yesterday for the NCAA tournament. The opening game this morning, I'm excited for. Northwestern and FAU.
Yeah, 8-9.
That is going to be a really good matchup. And then we got San Diego State and UAB this morning as well. We got some good matchups here.
Yep, and we will get you through all of them today on a Friday. Let us know how you're doing, what the bracket's looking like on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. I like this texter in Albuquerque. Checking in. Good morning. Happy Friday to you there, 505. Let us know how you're feeling. Denver sports fans and these Rams, they're checking in. They are saying they are cheering on the Buffs. So,
all right, let's go. A little state pride here.
We're all coming together for Colorado hoops today with the Buffaloes. All right, let's come together and talk about Michael Porter Jr. evolving right in front of our eyes into the third piece of the big three that the Denver Nuggets have. He did it again last night. Now, can we expect this regularly from MPJ? That conversation's next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, game one about to tip off here between the Wildcats and Owls of Florida Atlantic. I got to figure out who I picked, but I want to root for Northwestern because they have a guy on the team named Boo Booey.
He's one of the best scorers in the country.
Is he?
He's a stud.
Okay.
Yeah. I've got the Northwestern upset. Well, look, that's the FAU team that made the Final Four run last year.
I got Northwestern with you. Okay.
Yeah, and this Dusty May FAU team, I mean, look, they return almost everybody. Elijah Martin, John L. Davis, the big kid. I can't remember what his name is. But, yeah, no, I mean, this is a team in FAU as an 8 seed that is not looking to be out when they get to check the first weekend. So this ought to be a great matchup here.
You think he's named after Boo Radley?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. No. Well, that's the only Boo I know, so that's where I can draw from. All right, well, we'll update you as this thing's going on. Officially underway, day two of the tournament. But let's go to Ball Arena, where the Nuggets were last night, hosting the New York Knicks, the only time the Knicks would come to Ball Arena, and they get the dub. They're 13-2 now post-All-Star break. Look at the standings today. They're second there because of the OKC tiebreaker. But, Matt, we were talking about it, Drew and I, ahead of the show. This will be like day three of the week where when we talk Nuggets, the story is Michael Porter Jr. And this is also coming off of a 30-point triple-double from Nikola Jokic. We're kind of numb to it, might be the wrong term, but we're used to it. So when somebody else does something, it steals the headlines a little bit, and that's exactly what Michael Porter Jr. has done. I said it. I used the word evolve. Evolving right in front of us. It is what he's done in the 15 games after the All-Star break and then the 30-plus last night. His confidence that I've talked about all week, it is at an all-time high through the roof. He believes in himself as a basketball player more than he ever has. His relationships, that's something you and I have talked about this week as well. On-court chemistry with Jamal Murray is flourishing right now. Michael Porter Jr., man, you got to give this dude a ton of love for what he has been after the All-Star break, and he did it again last night.
It feels like he's turning a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough to tell if it's a heater or are you turning a corner because the sample size is big. It's just not, it's not big enough to the point where I can confidently sit here and tell you, yeah, this is what you're going to get out of this guy. And it probably won't convince me until we hit the playoffs overall, but it does not diminish the way he has been playing. I want that to be very clear. If he can bring this in the playoffs, the Nuggets are going to be nearly unbeatable.
That's right.
31 last night on 13 of 16 from the field, and Josh, they're good shots. He has taken this leap, it feels like, in understanding the game in basketball IQ. He knows when to flash backdoor. He knows when to cut through the middle. He knows, okay, I'm going to be a decoy on this play. Okay, this play, I'm actually trying to get the ball and go to the rim. There are many possessions where the Nuggets offense gets stagnant and it actually gets going again because he makes an off-ball cut and they find him. Mm-hmm. That has not been his MO, right. Okay? He's doing things at a higher level all over the floor, and he's just been the second biggest difference maker. I mean, even Jamal has been a little bit up and down here and there, and boy, I mean, did they dodge a bullet last night at the end of the game. Jamal Murray rolls his ankle.
Why is he even in the game?
Well, I'm not gonna kill him on that one. That was just a funky play. The point is, though, that's a good wake-up call as to what we were talking about yesterday. KCP did play last night, but, man, you can buy these guys some rest at some point here. You got to think about it. I think you got to think about it.
Yeah, you were wondering that already this week, and it's...
You got the Grizzlies and the Blazers. Do you bring Jamal to Portland tomorrow?
I mean, I bet he goes. What his role would be, or the playing time, I think that's what the conversation is. Oh, well, it's just a one-off, isn't it?
It's a one-off.
They come home for five or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, you might be right then. Give him a day.
I don't think I'd bring him. Just let Reggie go. Reggie hasn't played heavy minutes in a while.
Mm-mm.
Let him go. You have to make these decisions now.
Yeah.
If you really aren't so focused on getting the number one seed and you're more focused on having everybody healthy, you at some point have to buy that game.
Yeah, you might be onto something with the Portland, with it being a one-off, them not being a great team. You know, it's that actually might be a smart play. Just protect him from himself.
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes I used to have a guy that used to work on the job site. He used to go, sometimes I always do that, homie.
That's a good line. Yeah, I'm going to steal that one, too. All right, what do you guys think? Should Jamal get a night off? How you feeling about MPJ? RamosLaw.com, text lines 303-713-1043. I also love this. I've got it on Twitter, and I'm seeing it on the RamosLaw.com text line right now.
Uh-huh.
How come people don't understand, Matt, that when players change and their roles change and they... They evolve. They amplify what they have done. That opinions change about them. How come people don't understand that?
Oh, is somebody dragging you over the coals because you of your
I've ripped Michael Porter
Jr. Well, everybody has.
Right.
I mean, you're not alone in that boat.
You know why, though? Because this Michael is what I saw as a of him being capable of. And then when he doesn't achieve this, and not every night, Matt, I think you're right about that. We'll have that expectation conversation. But, you know, you're not going to expect a guy to score 30 every single night, especially when he is a third, sometimes fourth option on the floor. But he has always possessed this ability to be this lethal of a shooter, to be this big of a weapon and an option on the offensive end. And then when he doesn't do it, that's when frustration sets in from fans, from people like me that get to talk in front of a microphone. And then when he's on the other end of it, I'd be a fool to not give him credit. So here I am giving him a bunch of credit because he's earned every ounce of it.
Well, you're being open and honest and fair. And, you know, those are some of the qualities people say they're looking for in the president of sports.
Hey, that's right. That's coming up today at 11:45.
I sat down last night and I put together my platform, and I look forward to convincing the voters that I am the right candidate for you.
Well, I also sat down and took a few notes and jotted a few things that I would stand on in my platform. So really looking forward to that at 11:45. And then the texters are actually, they're the voters. They're going to determine who the president of sports is here today.
At 11:45.
11:45.
Okay.
You feel good about your campaign?
I feel great about all of my positions because I am looking forward to bringing a brighter future to the world of sports.
You're good. You're good.
You've got competition today, my friend.
You are good, Matt. All right, let's hear from MPJ. How has his game grown post-All-Star break?
It's not like I'm consciously doing it. I think the more games you play in the league, you just grow. So I don't think you as a player really notice a lot of the growth. You're just trying to get better every day and read the game. And I think the game slows down. So that's what I attribute it to.
You know what? That's something else. You always hear that. Oh, the game's slowing down. I'm viewing it different through my lens now. And every timeline is different. Every path is different, right? I know, again, that's part of the frustration that what he just said, that slowing down of the game and understanding the role didn't come to him until maybe right now, but at least it freaking came.
You know what was missing there, and it was a big one?
What's that?
Playing with Nikola Jokic. Mm. You just become a better player, and you don't know how it happens to you. You just wake up one day, and you're like, oh, I understand basketball now. And it happened to Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon was not always this guy.
No.
Aaron Gordon and Nikola Jokic now share a brain. The pass behind his head with the curve on it under the basket to Gordon was insane.
Yeah.
I mean, just one of 20 ridiculous plays last night. How about the fadeaway over Hartenstein over the backboard?
With one hand.
Should have been a dead ball, by the way.
It hit the top of the backboard.
Yeah. Either way, still an amazing shot. And then the skip pass like over his head to MPJ in the corner for a big three in the fourth. That was huge, man. And Jokic is just, and he's hurting too. I mean, you saw him last night. He was laboring a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, don't take it for granted here because Nikola is playing at a ridiculous level. And by the way, speaking of Nikola, I checked the MVP odds last night, minus 500. This thing is signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah. Also, how about that third quarter triple-double? Hammered that last night.
You did. He almost had it in the second.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
You did. And MPJ over 2.5 threes.
That's
over
right.
6.5 rebounds.
That's right.
Yeah, I see.
Pretty good day for us.
I see.
All right, what are you doing tonight? You need some Friday night plans? Well, we got them for you. Mike Evans is going to be at Ameristar Blackhawk tonight from 6 to 8, watching all the March Hoops action on all their amazing screens. They got great food in Blackhawk. You can register to win some incredible prizes, even a staycation on the line in one of their luxurious spa suites. They'll be giving away three of those tonight. So it's Ameristar Blackhawk. Go kick it with Mike Evans. 29 HD TVs, $5 apps. And, you know, Mike said it this morning. See if you can go outlast him in a buffet line.
Are you a big Blackhawk guy?
I am.
Blackhawk's fun.
Oh, it rips.
Going to stay up there at night in one of those spa rooms with the, you know, big old jacuzzi tub and the TV in the center
of
the room.
Yeah.
That's solid, man.
A hot tub and a pool up on the roof.
Like, the hot tub is great. You know, hot tub is nice.
Yeah.
It comes in clutch, especially when you get out there in that cold air, too, up on there on the roof at night. You know, it's public, you know. So you're going to get the best you're going to get. But it's great up there, yeah.
You know, I'm going to Vegas next weekend, and I got a room with one of those heart-shaped hot tubs in it.
Did you?
For real.
What shape's the bed?
Well, TBD, I'll tell you, coming up. All right, well, that is what the Nuggets did last night. I want to get back to the conversation of upsets. What we watched yesterday, whole bunch of 11s getting dubs. Will that continue today? And I want to talk more about Kentucky and their upset because the SEC commissioner opened mouth and inserted foot a few days ago. We'll tell you what he did next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Smith sitting in for Stoke today. It is a Friday. Happy Friday to you. Appreciate everybody weighing in on the RamosLaw.com text line. I like now people are making fun of me about MPJ, but having fun while making fun.
All right, let's hear.
And I can do that.
Let's hear it.
Dover, you're such a fair weather fan.
Yeah, classic.
Now you're kissing
Dover.
His butt so bad you were screaming to trade him. Nobody agreed with you then.
Classic Dover. What else we got? Who else?
But then it says just messing. You know we love you.
Well, so, you know, no, it doesn't say that.
Yeah, if you have to say that afterwards, that was all due respect, right?
You texted that in.
I texted in the bottom part. Yeah, yeah. Right. But we do want to hear from you. What do you got going on this Friday? Are you even working with what's going on with March Madness and the Abs back at Ball Arena tonight? Hit us up 303-713-1043. Watch the show over on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. We were talking about the upset, Oakland beating Kentucky, and you and I having Kentucky going pretty deep in our brackets. But Jack Golkel, the kid that knocked down the
Golkey,
10 threes, made 10 of the 20 that he shot, had 30 plus points. And let's go back 3 days, Matt, where the SEC commissioner, Greg Sankey, had this to say. Quote, we are giving away highly competitive opportunities for all automatic qualifiers from smaller leagues. And I think the pressure is going to rise as we have more competitive basketball leagues at the top end because of conference expansion, end quote. So basically, there's Greg Sankey saying, yeah, this should be more of the top tier programs, the top dogs, if you will, that have legitimate chances at making a deep run and winning a national championship. Greg said that, and then on day one of the NCAA tournament, the SEC was 0-3, and Kentucky was beat, of course, by the Horizon League champ, Oakland. So Greg Sankey, a little egg on his face here after day one of the tournament, Matt.
Sorry, Josh.
What are you reading?
Well, I'm just trying to find the last SEC national champion. Hold on. It's taking me a second. UConn last year. Yeah. Kansas. Baylor? No. Virginia? How about Virginia? No.
No.
Villanova?
No.
North Carolina?
No.
Villanova?
No.
No. Duke?
No, unfortunately.
Hey, here's UConn again. Louisville?
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Kentucky, 2012.
Okay.
We got one.
12 years ago.
Yeah, but hold on. I mean, I figure if there are all these elite teams in the SEC.
It's got them back to back, right?
I mean, well, UConn again? No.
Okay, well, Duke? East is good.
North Carolina, Kansas.
ACC is solid.
Hey, Florida did it back to back.
06 and 07.
Yes, 06 and 07. So there you go. So you got three since 06.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the SEC is all big, mighty, and powerful.
He can flap his gums about football all he wants because he'll be right every time.
Of course.
But when it comes to basketball, let's not kid ourselves here. And we spoke about it a little bit to open the show. The Oakland-Kentucky game is a perfect example of what you get in college basketball that you no longer get in college football. There's a shred of the innocence of what was college sports at one point, mm-hmm. right? The amateurism, the team you've never heard of. Last night, Samford down 20 to Kansas. You were at the Nuggets game while this game was going on. What a comeback by Samford. Holy cow. I mean, they walked Kansas down. Now, Kansas missing their best perimeter player. Mm-hmm. But my goodness, I mean, there was a moment there where I thought Samford was about to beat Bill Self after being down 20 to him. So make no mistake, the smaller schools have represented. Now, some of them better than others, but we opened up with Duquesne over BYU yesterday. Mm-hmm. God, I should have let you try that one again.
I know,
today.
I kept thinking about that last night.
I should have let you try that one again.
You know what I did? I went back and watched highlights and pronunciation so I didn't screw up here today.
Nice. And then NC State last night, the miracle run in the ACC tournament where their coach was about to be fired. Well, now they're on to the second round.
Yep.
They beat Texas Tech last night. We had some really good upsets. And even Drake Boy, Drake had it right there. It was there for the taking, and then they just let the rope slip. And Washington State, shout out Miles Rice. We talked about Miles Rice yesterday, the kid who had, you know, was in cancer treatment all last year, the redshirt freshman. He's a hell of a player, man, and that team is moving on. So good for Wazoo. Good for the Pac-12. Oregon won as well.
Yep.
We just need one more Pac-12 school. Arizona won as well. Now
both
one
11
more.
Seeds, right? Both 11 seeds won yesterday.
Both 11 seeds. Both 11 seeds who are favored. I told you that number yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
I got some good numbers. I told you that number yesterday.
Did you see Duquesne got LeBron's, sent them all kicks?
LeDuquesne,
yeah.
Yeah, LeDuquesne.
I didn't realize that the tie was there in the relationship with the head coach, but yeah, he sent them all brand new kicks, and now I really like this, that the kids have now campaigned for a second round of kicks since they're on to the second round of the NCAA tournament. Smart kids.
I was going to say, smart kids. Good education there at Duquesne's University. Morehead State gave Illinois a good run for their money until Illinois pulled away there later in the second half. They impressed me yesterday, too. Going through the rest of these, Tennessee took St. Peter's to the woodshed yesterday. Gonzaga looked really good yesterday, I thought.
Maybe McNeese State should play better competition before the tournament to tune up, huh?
They only played one tournament team all year heading into the game. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes today. There's some really good matchups today I'm looking forward to. Out of everything today, like I told you, I've got Northwestern on upset alert.
Me too.
See you, man. Pulling for him. We'll see. We'll see.
Not on upset alert, though, huh?
You know, the one thing about playing a big program like Florida, that's a tough draw because Florida's fan base travels really, really well. Like Kansas, Michigan, all these big schools, their fan bases travel really well. And Florida is perennially in the NCAA tournament and typically does well. So that's a fan base with a history of traveling, you know. So that's always a tough draw when you get a bigger school. Other matchups I like, the most popular upset pick of the entire tournament so far is New Mexico over Clemson.
That's what I was going to say. It's 11-6 matchup also. A lot of people have New Mexico making a deep, deep run because of how hot they were to end their regular season and conference tournament. So I have that one today as well, that it would be New Mexico over Clemson. And then you and I talked about James Madison, Wisconsin. I mean, Big Ten going to Big Ten, right?
Well, the stat I gave yesterday, James Madison 17-0 when they shoot 37% or more from three this year, and Wisconsin averages allowing opponents 37.5%.
Damn.
It ought to be a close game. There's a reason it's a 5-point spread in that one. And then, of course, Texas A&M is going to beat Nebraska today because Nebraska's never won a tournament game and nothing good can happen to you, Nebraska fans. So, you know
what I saw?
Stick that in your corn and smoke it.
I saw this morning driving in I was behind a Subaru because it's Colorado, and it was a "See you, mom" bumper sticker in the upper right window. But then underneath, on the left side, was a Nebraska logo. And on the right side on the bottom was the outline of Nebraska.
I thought you were
going to
say it was Wyoming and then CSU.
No, it's like a "See you, mom" rooting for Nebraska. How does that work?
I don't know. Maybe you get some kid that couldn't get into CSU, so they had to go to Nebraska. Who knows, Josh? Who knows?
That's actually exactly what happened, right?
There's a couple other upset alerts today. TCU plays Utah State. Mm-hmm. TCU, probably one of the more experienced teams in the entire tournament. Utah State, good program. I just think that's a really tough matchup for them, and TCU as a 9 seed is a 4-point favorite, so that's something to keep our eyes on. And then the last one, which is the last game of the night, so hopefully we have a little fireworks tonight, Grand Canyon, the GCU Lopes, and St. Mary's. That ought to be a really good matchup. GCU talks some trash now. GCU, that program is fascinating. Do you know the backstory on Grand Canyon?
I know, like, was it Marley that was there
super,
or something?
You know, super religious university. Okay. You know, they get a lot of, you know, that type of money there.
Okay, nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with that at all. But they pay for all their fans to travel to, like, all their big tournament games, which is super cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, I mean, if you got the money, I mean, might as well spend it in a smart way.
Yeah.
But they also pay for, like, everybody to be all decked out in their gear, and they have, like, all these cheers. And I mean, they go crazy. So tonight, St. Mary's and Grand Canyon, that ought to be a really entertaining basketball game.
Grand Canyon mascot.
The Lopes.
Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
The Lopes.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I had a buddy that played for them, actually.
Really?
Yeah. They used to be head coached by Dan Marley, former Phoenix Sun.
Yeah, that's how I knew of it.
And now it's Bryce Drew, who's the brother of Scott Drew at Baylor.
That's right. Yeah, Dan Marley out there. I was always weird when they popped up. I'm like, Grand Canyon University. That sounds Is that an online campus? I don't know, what's going on here? But here they are in the tournament as the Antelopes taking on the Gales today as a number 5 seed. All right, let's take a quick time out. When we get back, I want to turn our attention a bit to the gridiron. There's an Athletic mock out there that has a couple top 10 trades for quarterbacks. One team that made a move is the Broncos. Details on who they got and what it cost next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Stokes off on a Friday. Matt Smith is in for Brandon Stokely, and we're with you till 2 o'clock today. Happy Friday to you. Tournament underway. Rams season is wrapped up, but the Buffs look to punch their ticket to round 2 coming up this afternoon at 2:30. You want to join us, be a part of the program, we'd love to hear from you. 303-713-1043, ramoslaw.com text line. You can join the conversation right there. All right, let's talk a little bit about a mock, the latest from the Athletic, Matt, and it got crazy in this mock draft. I mentioned there were two trades in the draft to go up and get quarterbacks. Here's what we got. This Athletic mock has Minnesota making a trade. We know they're going to be active players either on or before draft night, and in this case, they trade all the way up to number 3, Matt, and they get Drake May. It has Denver making a move up from 12 to 8, and they land J.J. McCarthy. So Minnesota jumps up. They get their quarterback in Drake May. The Broncos then jump up from 12 to 8. They get their quarterback in J.J. Here's what the Broncos had to give up to get there. They give up their 12th. They give up a 76th pick in the third round, and then a future second rounder. That comes in 2025. So you swap first, you give up a third, and a future second to jump 4 spots and land J.J. McCarthy. Your GM hat's on. Do you do this deal?
All right, so a couple of things here. We're just assuming New England is, you know, fiddling around in their pocket and not going to take a quarterback now?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't believe that. The latest report I read was that the Patriots have locked in on Drake May as their guy.
They have.
Yes, that's the latest reports I read. I think that was for Florio, NBC Sports,
okay.
I want to say.
Okay.
So under this mock draft, and who's this from again?
So it's the Athletic and a group of their
I got you. All right, so under this scenario, New England moves from 3 to 11, and then the Broncos...
11 to 3.
New England moves from 3 to 11.
Sorry.
Right, yeah.
I thought you said Minnesota.
No, I got you. Minnesota's move, it's the same. They're switching, they're trading, right? One's going to 3, one's going to 11. And then New England's at 11. The Broncos are going to jump up to 8, and they're only going to sacrifice a third-round pick?
A third-rounder and a future second. Third-rounder 24, second and 25.
And the Giants are just going to sit there and let them do it?
The Giants are taking a wide receiver, Adunze from Washington.
Oh, are they?
Are they? Well, I mean, the Giants are in some trouble with Daniel Jones' contract.
I got that, but every indication is that they're moving on. We'll see.
I mean,
you also have the Raiders that are there that could jump up.
Another mock that the Raiders, and I've seen, that's like the fourth one in a week that the Raiders have Michael Penix Jr. They traded back into the first in this mock to get him, but there's some smoke there with the Raiders and MPJ.
Well, and this kind of goes to what we're talking about yesterday. If Sean is going to draft a quarterback, I find it hard to believe that he's going to sit there with his hands in his pocket waiting. You know, like, I really find that hard to believe. If he's going to finally draft the first round top 10 guy, I could see him being like, yeah, we'll give up next year's second and a 3 this year to move up 4 spots.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I think it might cost you a little bit more than that. And everybody's saying that McCarthy's the one who's supposed to go at 4 overall. So we'll see what happens there. That feels unlikely to me based upon everything we've heard. But again, I'll say, I don't think we've ever seen a quarterback go 1 through 4 off the draft board in NFL history.
I think you're right about that.
So is that going to happen too? Because the speculation is that Minnesota picked up number 23 when they made that trade, and they're going to package those to get up to 4 with Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
But does Arizona want to give up on, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr.? Or are they cool looking at Malik Nabers or Brian Thomas Jr. at LSU? Mm-hmm.
Well, how much different, like, and that was what Arizona made it publicly known yesterday. Like, hey, here's our phone number. We'll love to have these conversations with you, because it was actually the Chargers, what everybody kind of assumed was going to be available at number 5 right there. And that's another question we can kick around. Like, all right, if you're Arizona, how different is Marvin Harrison Jr. from Malik Nabers? I think there's a tier separation from Adunze, but
How much different? I don't know. I mean, you've got really highly touted receiver prospects at the top of the draft. In fact, the entire receiving draft class is really solid, which is why paying somebody like Jerry Jeudy, 41 guaranteed, and a 3-year contract worth $58 million before you even know what plays out in the draft, to me, is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why you, by the way, and that's why you haven't seen a hot receiver market outside of that. Right, you really haven't seen a very strong receiver. Look at what Keenan Allen went for, a 4th-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry Jeudy got the contract.
Yeah.
Okay, that's how you know the Browns are just a little bit out there with that
Keenan
one.
Keenan Allen's 15 times the receiver that Jerry Jeudy is.
Would I rather have McCarthy or Bo Nix? God, it's a Sophie's choice of quarterbacks I don't want.
Well, you got to pick one right now. Who's going to be?
Neither for me. I know. People aren't going to be happy about that.
I know that it's been a talked ourselves into it. But there's no appeal from J.J. McCarthy, a guy that is a national champion, a guy that...
Less appeal for me than Bo Nix.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I look at it the other way. Why? Why do you see it that way?
I just don't think that J.J.'s skill set is necessarily going to translate immediately to the NFL. He reminds me a lot of Daniel Jones, the way that he plays. And then the numbers, their last years in school kind of reflect that. I think McCarthy's a better passer. I think Jones is a little bit of a better runner. If you can get, but here's the thing. Sean Payton doesn't want a quarterback that's going to throw the ball 50 times a game. I mean, maybe he does, but from what we've seen, I don't think so. I think he wants a guy who can play in the pocket, can get the ball out quickly, can utilize the middle of the field. Now, you're going to need some receivers to be able to do that with first.
Tight end might help, too.
Yeah, tight end might help, too. Slot receiver could help as well. I think McCarthy is an interesting prospect. I don't really believe in his talent. Now, Harbaugh came out and said that Harbaugh thinks he's going to be the number one quarterback in this draft class by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah. I toot my boy's horn too, right?
You do what to his horn?
Okay, I'm like, that guy's a good dude right there. It's my buddy.
I digress. If he believes that, then he should trade Justin Herbert.
Well, Justin Herbert's established.
Well, what? If you think that J.J. McCarthy is going to be the number one quarterback in this draft class, why would you not do that?
And it's just plug and play?
If that's what he thinks. Unless that's lip service, which we know.
It's lip service.
It's lip service. Exactly. Because if you really believe that, the Chargers already peeled off Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. If you think J.J. McCarthy is going to be so good in the next few years, why wouldn't you want to reset the clock? I mean, there's plenty of people out there who are willing to make the argument that Justin Herbert is overrated. I'm not necessarily one of them.
I'm not either.
I think he's been plagued by some incompetence in the coaching ranks.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, when he's had the ball with an opportunity to make big plays late in games, he hasn't come through.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But I think if that were true, maybe we'd be hearing about that.
Yeah.
What would you move for Justin Herbert? Let's just play the hypothetical game. That'll never happen.
Oh, dude. Like, it starts at 3 first-round picks. What did Ramsey get? Wasn't Ramsey worth 3 first-round picks his first go-around? Two. All right, so add another because he's quarterback. Might add a 4th.
Yeah, but you can only trade how many thirds, how many firsts at
two
once?
Two in advance, I believe, is what the number is.
Yeah, 2 and Patrick Surtain?
For Justin Herbert?
And 12. Well, 2, well, I guess you're trading 12
just
anyway.
Swapping it,
or just like, you know, the next 3 years' seconds. Just never have a second-round pick again.
To get Justin Herbert.
Until Justin Herbert retires.
To 12 years from now, we get a second-round pick back.
All right, let's stop playing fantasy football.
I think Justin Herbert is a solid quarterback. I don't think, as much as maybe we're going to see Harbaugh tear it down, he's already done some of those moves. You can't move on from a guy that seems to be the face of your franchise. And then when he's at that position, you certainly can't do it.
I got a question for you.
All right.
Regarding Russell Wilson's house, you saw that it sold, right?
It did. He lost $3.5 million.
Yeah, well, no surprise there.
Sure.
He bought a house $9 million above the highest home purchase ever, you know, recorded prior to that. Yeah. Of course he was going to lose. It's just shocking that somebody bailed him out. That could have gone way worse for him.
Yeah, do we find out who the buyer is?
No.
Can I call my real estate friends? Will they know?
Do you have friends that are swimming in those circles?
Maybe one.
Nah, no, you don't. Look at you. Look at how long your hair is. No one with hair that long could possibly know anybody swimming in those circles. Can I just tell you? Especially if you got curls in it. It's an automatic disqualifier.
What do you mean? You don't think there's rich guys with great hair?
You know how you make the NCAA tournament when you win your conference tournament? It's called automatic qualifier?
Yeah.
Your hair is an automatic disqualifier for this conversation.
To be in those groups? Yeah. Dude, I'm personal friends with Rick Ross, and I had this hair then.
The boss?
Yeah. Me and Ricky Rose spent a nice evening together at the Super Bowl in Arizona.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Actually?
For real.
Nice. That's cool.
I can't share the things we were doing, but I'll tell you. All right. One quick text. This might give us like the overall view of what it feels like to live in Broncos country, because this is coming from a Browns fan. He's trying to dunk on us as a Browns fan. And you know what?
Nobody is going to defend the Broncos in this scenario.
That's what I was going to say. I'm going to just have to sit here and get dunked on. Don't care what you guys think about the Browns. Your team is awful and getting worse. I can't really, I don't know what to say.
Enjoy Jerry Jeudy, buddy.
Yeah, if you're a Browns fan, were you pissed that he's going back at Mark Schlereth? Like, hey, why don't you leave that in Denver, my man?
Nah.
Or he's just a...
It's the same way that Russ is now bamboozling all these Steelers fans. He's doing the same... It's the same playbook that it was when he got to Denver. The highlight videos, the workout tape. The most recent workout video was almost identical to the one he posted when he was coming to Denver. In the comments, I'm telling you, it's like the Truman Show. It's like we're all watching Steeler fans on television and on social media go through this whole experiment of the same emotions that we felt, and the letdown is going to be twice as nice because it happened to somebody else. And don't we all love to root for somebody else to feel our pain?
We certainly do. Misery loves company, isn't it? All right, quick timeout. When we get back, let's go back to the NCAA tournament. Heck of a season for the Rams. Unfortunately, that ended yesterday in a loss to Texas. So let's address the elephant in the room. What's the future of Nico Medved? We'll answer that question next.